It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Earlier this year, President Trump issued an executive order calling for schools to train millions of teachers and students on artificial intelligence tools and to integrate AI into the classroom. The American Federation of Teachers announced it's creating a national AI training center for educators with $23 million in funding from Microsoft and other tech companies. On the UW-Milwaukee campus, Microsoft just opened a new AI co-innovation lab. As this technology becomes a bigger part of education, we're checking in with Wisconsin teachers on how they're navigating changes within their profession. Mark Ackerman is a science teacher at Darlington Elementary Middle School. He was named one of the Wisconsin Teachers of the Year for 2026. Mark, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Brian Councilman is a science teacher and project-based learning coordinator at Malcolm Shabazz City High School in Madison. He was named one of Wisconsin's five Teachers of the Year for 2025. Brian, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate all you do at WPR.
Brian, do you have a firm stance on how you approach artificial intelligence for your students and how you go about in the classroom with AI?
Yeah, that is a giant question of our age, isn't it? A firm stance, I think, is hard. I think it's just actively trying to navigate the landscape that seems like with AI is changing, you know, constantly and continually. So I think as educators, we're doing a lot of learning, one, like what is capable out there. And then honestly, it's like, okay, so what does that mean for us? Like, what's kind of the catch up we can play with it? But honestly, I think if I had to put a firm stance on it, I try to be someone who's not negligent of it. Working with young people, obviously, if you ignore the technology, that doesn't work. They're going to, you know, like it's going to be used, it's out there. So I think it's kind of understanding what it is. And I think for us, then I think often schools look to like, how can I find a way to regulate it? Can I find a way to stop it? And I think some of those tools can be really powerful and useful. I think for me and us at our school, we're a project-based learning school. And so I think the most effective thing I found around AI is how can we use that as a tool, like be earnest and realistic about around where that could be helpful. But then areas where we're trying to counteract how AI is being used or want students to dig in a more authentic way, how can you find those more authentic experiences? So I think for us being a project-based learning school, that's often finding those real authentic moments where students are really digging into, you know, experiencing things real time.
Because, Brian, you're known for dreaming up some really creative, really cool lesson projects. I mean, but could you try? All right. But could AI do that, too?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. So, I mean, looking at it professionally, just had an interaction. We have a one staff member who's really well versed in using AI. And yeah, professionally, some of the stuff it does is great. And, you know, he used it as a way of like, hey, I'm looking for community partners in the greater Madison area. And, you know, related to a performance arts class, and it cranked out some amazing ideas and lesson plans and things. So I'm not anti that. You know, I think those are things that can generate ideas, and a lot of those tools can be really useful as a professional. And I don't get too offended if it generates ideas that are as good as the ones we as teachers create. Right. But I think that's a tool in our toolbox. But also just knowing that it's not the only tool in our toolbox, and that, in some ways I feel like this moment in time might be helping to kind of double down on like those real experiences. And I think that's a lot of our wheelhouse and stuff we strive to do is, you know, AI can't replace the person in front of you or the forest you're in or the, you know, the thing you're creating with your hands. And so I think how can we make sure we balance this AI tech with some of these concrete real experiences for our young people too?
Mark, we might think of more advanced technology being primarily for older students, high school students, but do you see it with your fifth and sixth graders as well?
Oh, definitely. When we're talking about AI, I think we have to embrace it as an educational tool for both teachers and students, obviously. And when I think about it a lot, I think back, this is my 33rd year teaching in Wisconsin. And I think back to when the internet came out and how that was such a different thing for people to grasp and get a hold of. And AI is similar. It's a very powerful tool. But I think we need to talk to students on how to use it responsibly in the classroom. But like for my fifth and sixth graders, I love it. Basically, as a teacher, for me, it helps me generate lessons if I need to, you know, in minutes instead of hours that I can then edit to to serve me and serve my students better. Information is much quicker with it. It helps me communicate with my students and coworkers at times, make me a more engaging and creative teacher, I think, as well, too. For my students, much like Brian talked about, you know, you want students to be real life learners and work with hands-on learning. And we do all of that. But at the same time, you can incorporate some of that AI into it as a tool. I mean, we all know how much students are motivated by technology. And when you can use that AI to increase that motivation and that curiosity and relate your content in that fun and engaging way, I think it makes learning basically a very exciting thing for students, and they want to do it, especially at my fifth and sixth grade level. Now, like Brian said, too, it doesn't replace going outside and talking about our nature trail or our solar panels or many of the other things, but it can add to them. It can add to our learning. And for me, the goal is to help my learners become thoughtful, creative thinkers that can solve problems. And AI can really add to that, I believe.
I understand that your principal has also started an AI committee at your school. What kind of guidance, what kind of support have you received from administrators on, like, implementing the technology or, you know, incorporating it into your classroom?
Yeah, my principal, Mike Flanagan, does an awesome job. He's kind of at the forefront of everything, really. And last year, he started an AI committee, and I'm on that AI committee. And what he wanted to do was to focus basically on how to best use AI in our school for both teachers and students here at Garlington. And basically, what I kind of did as my part to help out is I developed a CuriPod, which is, I'll get into that in a little bit, but it's a cool AI tool. But I developed one to help the staff and students basically learn a little bit more about AI and how we can use it.
Did you say CurePod or CarePod? CurePod.
It's CuriPod. It's a program that basically an app. But we've basically bought that program to use this year. I used it several times last year, the free version of it. And what it does is it allows me to take a subject we're doing, like in my science room, and I can put in some concepts I want the kids to learn about. It'll create the lesson plan, but then it makes it interactive for the students. So it's really cool. And the kids absolutely love it. You know, something like that would take me hours to come up with on my own. And it does it basically in a minute, but then I can edit it to make it more applicable. And the thing I love about it is students then, when they give like a written response, it will basically analyze that written response and it'll tell them, hey, you know, you could add in more detail here, or grammar wise, you could have done this, and it makes them better writers. And it tells them what they did well, too.
That is Mark Ackerman at Darlington Elementary Middle School. And Brian Councilman is here at Malcolm Shabazz City High School in Madison as we talk about artificial intelligence in the classroom. And these teachers are two recent Wisconsin Teachers of the Year. Brian, when students aren't in the classroom, they can go home, they can access AI for whatever they want, day or night. How does that impact the way you approach teaching and assignments for students?
Yeah, I think when you look at things like homework or assignments, in some ways, I think it challenges teachers in a really healthy way. You know, I think we could sit there and be like, oh, they can just look it up, or they can create this thing, and it's like the AI is doing it for them. Even think about research is a big one. Like when you're researching, mm-hmm. Now it's kind of forced our hand of the first thing that pops up on a Google search, right, is the AI generated research tool. And so one, I think it's helping students understand what's happening when they're accessing that. If they're going to, you know, use Google to look into something they're working on at home or during class, you know, how they're maybe looking at more primary sources and just the value that might have. Not that it's like a got you, like AI is bad, but also like just know that this is being generated from these other independent sources. And then, I mean, earnestly, as a alternative high school, we often have very limited homework to begin with. So for us, that maybe is less of a concern. And part of our ethos in that is we have a lot of students that have a lot going on in their lives at home and needing to focus on that and want them to have rich lives outside of school and also work through some of the things that might be tough for them. But even given some of the homework and things they might do, I think it's how can we think about, we use this term like depth of knowledge, and it's kind of this thing, as Mark talked about, like the advent of the internet, right? Like it kind of progresses from like the what of a fact to like the how, and then the why is like a level three, and then the how else do we use it, right? And I think, mm-hmm. So for us, when I think of assignments, I think, you know, the what and the how are really easy with just internet AI, certainly now, right? It blows it out of the water. But how are we getting into those like whys and how else's? as well as reflection. So I do a ton of reflection stuff. And I think that's a great way to get students that, sure, you can look something up. You can look up a fact. You can create a product using this AI tool. But what the AI tool can't do is reflect on how you engaged with an experience in class or outside of class.
Mark, what comes up for you on this idea of cheating and assessments and pivoting? What are you thinking about?
I couldn't agree more with Brian, and a lot of the concepts he brought up was exactly what I was going to say. I don't give much homework either at the fifth and sixth grade level. I agree with Brian that the kids have so much going on anymore in their lives. And to me, learning, it should be something that's done mostly in the classroom. You know, that exploration, that creativity, that collaboration that can happen in the classroom. And AI can provide all of that in the classroom. And as far as like, you know, when I do give it something, like he said, it's reflective. It's tied to a real world observation, something that AI can't do for them, basically. And I think, like he said, Brian said, you know, your goal is not to catch students cheating. You would hope they don't. But I think if we can keep that stuff in the classroom more so, you know, we have tools like GoGuardian and other things to monitor them when they're in the classroom. But learning is something basically to me and to Brian, it sounds like too, we're exploring, we're creating, we're looking at real life things. And, you know, if we don't give much homework, you don't have to deal with that a lot as well either.
So you saw the dawn of the information superhighway, internet starting to be incorporated, Mark, into the classroom, waiting for web pages to come up. And then we see this month, you know, Microsoft planning to give more than $4 billion in funding and technology services to train people in the education setting with AI tools. I wonder, how do you feel about this intensive push from Silicon Valley to get chatbots into class?
That's a great question. Again, I'm learning about this stuff just like you are and everybody else, teachers all around the United States are. You know, I'm always interested in learning about some of the stuff that they have to offer, and I'm always willing to take a look at it. And until I really look at it myself and learn more about it, it's really hard to comment on some of that stuff that they're coming out with. But in my classroom, I mean, technology, you know, it makes students so much more engaged. And if we can figure out how to use, you know, think about cell phones and how they replace desktops and computers for many people in today's society. And as a teacher, technology has always allowed me to become more creative, a more engaging teacher. And I compare AI to when, like I said earlier, when the internet came out, it just opened up so many areas for advancement in how we teach and how we learn. And I think AI is doing the same thing. It's just that we have to figure out how we can incorporate it with still doing many of the other things that are important for students to learn.
Brian, how do you strike that balance of seeing all of these technology services and new tools from these companies, big tech, you know, kind of moving more closely into the education sector, especially now, you know, really focused on AI? How do you parse all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I tend to be more of an inherent skeptic of technology. You can ask my wife. I'm often like, well, I'll give it a minute. Let's, you know, but being in the I have a many generations old, you know, technology and cell phones. But it's also being a teacher, right? You're wading in the waters with students and they have the stuff, right? And so, I think it is this striking this balance of how can we soak it in, like kind of see what's available. And yeah, I think, you know, I think Mark brought up like the cell phone argument, and that's a challenging one as well. And I think with all these technologies, it's like, how can I as a teacher use those as a way to be like a litmus of what we're doing and enhance it, but not fall into what feels like a trap to me of just like jumping in and having everything live there. I mean, even now, just like Google Classroom and high school classrooms, like holy buckets, like it's kind of everything, which in some ways is great. It's a great organizational tool, but I think some ways like, well, a good litmus test as a teacher, like if Google Classroom crashes, like what do you got? You know, and I think making sure you got something still, right? And
something
I think
similar, in your back pocket.
Yeah, it's like something that's AI, right? And I think if you have nothing, if you're like, oh my gosh, Google Classroom, the internet's out today. Like, no, like I love it when the internet's out. Actually, it's one of my favorite days. I'm like, okay, what's everyone going to do? And you know, it gets like a great like professional test of like, what do you got in your toolkit, right? And I think as long as teachers got something in their toolkit, like it's fine, right? But if you don't, like, well, that's maybe something to think critically about of like, okay, what is my next step if all of a sudden this technology is gone, right? And so that's kind of one of the things I think about professionally as I kind of navigate it. And then, you know, how can I use it as, you know, maybe something like, cell phones is a constant battle with high school, right? Kids have them all the time and they're so ubiquitous. And they, again, for many students, they do work better on cell phones. Like, how do you navigate that time? Like, when is it appropriate? How do you build those expectations and rules? And I laugh that we do so much like experiential stuff and things that I hope I kind of talk about, like, is it something you're going to tell a story about later? And for young people, if they're going to tell a story about it, they want to take a picture of it. Right. And yeah. So we often use it. Sometimes it's like, okay, I'm on to something. If students are like, can I take a picture? That I'm like, okay, we might be doing something worthy of like a Snapchat or something instead of fighting that, right? And being like, no, you can't take a picture, put that phone away. So I mean, I think it's like kind of finding those places to push as a teacher, and then those places to be like, you know what, actually, like, they're just utilizing this tool in a way that's normal for a young person and they're excited. And like, and then if you can strike that balance with students and they know that, like, I'm not here to police your technology use per se, right? But I'm also here to help you realize that there's a whole breadth of world experience. And if technology is a piece of that, and for some people, it's more or less a piece of that, sometimes it can be an interesting litmus tool. So I think for me, again, it's just like making sure that AI, and as this pushes in, there's more and more pressure for it, making sure it's just like an arrow in our quiver, not the whole kit and caboodle. So that's kind of my litmus test as I kind of digest all the new stuff as it's kind of this tidal wave of new information and technology. So,
Mark, I'm thinking about the one thing in your toolbox that includes founding a few decades ago, founding a nature trail in Darlington, you know, a space for outdoor learning. What kind of things can the natural world teach us that technology just can't replicate?
Well, that's a great question. I'm really proud of all the sustainability efforts we've done here at Darlington over my 33 years. The nature trail is just one of the things that we have here. We have over 30 some trees on a nature trail. We're getting 7 more this year. And one of the cool things about the nature trail is that each time a teacher retires from our school district, they're given the tree on the nature trail for their dedication for their years of service here. And provides a place for the kids to go out and do leaf collections and get outside and enjoy nature. There's so many things we can go out there and do, and we do that on a constant basis. So that's something that AI can't provide. And we also have here at our school, we have solar panels on top of the school. So as a science teacher, I love that. We can go up and take a look at the solar panels and talk a little bit about how that electricity is generated from those solar panels. We also have one of the things that I did with some of the money that I was given from the Cole Foundation is we're going to actually use that to build like a little astronomy station outside. And we're going to have the kids come in at night so we can take a look at the stars and the universe. And another thing that I'm actually doing with that money as well, too, is we're going to put in a composter for our school's lunch scraps so we can use that and use that actual composted material then to when we plant the new trees and stuff. So that'll go right back on the nature trail. So there's so many things in the science room, obviously, that are hands-on and real-life things that we incorporate here at Darlington that it's really, really cool. And AI obviously can't do those things, but you can use AI to connect to those things and learn more about the things. That's the beauty of kind of finding the balance between the two.
Well, Brian and Mark, thank you so much for this conversation. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
Brian Kunzelman is a science teacher and project-based learning coordinator at Malcolm Shabazz City High School in Madison. And Mark Ackerman is a 5th and 6th grade science teacher at Darlington Elementary Middle School. They are with us to share how teachers are managing AI in the classroom and how the job of teaching has changed with new technologies.